You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, you've been covering really one of the odder sagas I've seen in a good while in baseball with this Dan Haren situation, where a team trades for a guy knowing he doesn't really want to go there, waits for him. Rumors that maybe he's going to come to spring. Rumors that you reported that he might even be open to being with the club beyond spring. As we talk here this afternoon, where does that stand?
Yeah, it's still kind of up in the air, Matthew. The impression I got was, and I was hearing this a few days ago, that he was having a change of heart and was welcoming the opportunity to not only come and report to spring training, but actually pitch for the Marlins. And then we saw the story out of the Miami Herald saying that, yes, he will come, but will still prefer to pitch out west. And no one really, everyone's kind of in hiding, and there's really not much else coming out to shed any more light on this. I kind of, as you said, it's one of the more fascinating stories in over a decade of covering this team in terms of trading for such an unknown commodity. I have to believe that the Marlins would not have him in camp if they didn't intend or feel very strongly that he intended to be a Marlin. I just find it very hard to believe that, you know, they'll get to February 20th, everyone will get there with this positive outlook for 15 with a guy who could be your 3 or 4th starter saying at the end of camp, well, I really may retire because I was hoping you'd trade me by now. So it's very odd, very strange, and not a lot of real specifics. And I'd also like to know a little more context, you know, if Haren indeed still wants to pitch out west, a little more clarity other than, well, maybe I'll show up, but my heart may not be in it. Or if indeed, yes, I'm there to be a Marlin, and yes, I'm there to try to help this team get to where it wants to go.
What's your understanding as far as the level of conversation between the club and Haren? Do you get the impression that they're actually in contact, or is this really kind of being played out through us in the media?
No, I think they are, and I think that just knowing how these guys operate, I think it's a very small circle, and it probably is starting with Jeffrey Loria and Michael Hill and Dan Jennings kind of doing all the legwork. I can't imagine anyone else in the organization having any conversation other than maybe a D. Gordon, who's a teammate of his, obviously, with the Dodgers. And normally when you start hearing stuff, we heard right before the first of the year that he informed the team that he still preferred to pitch out west. Usually over holidays, you know, that's usually when people are kind of more entrenched family. You know, so to me, the timing of that was very interesting and telling. But then we're getting close to the 10th, 11th, 12th, and you start hearing, look, I'm hearing, this is my people telling me, the people I greatly trust connected with this team, that he may come and pitch for us after all, that type of mentality. Which, you know, is okay. Now, we all knew he was already working out. So, you know, pitching in 15 was still going to be his priority. And they were like, okay, he's kind of buying into it. And indeed, you know, he'll come down here. And then you get the curveball coming at, you know, the caveat that I'll pitch, but, you know, or I'll report, but I still would prefer to be out west. Matthew, I wouldn't be surprised if either, you know, behind, you know, the scenes, things are worked out either for Dan Haren to fly into South Florida, you know, within sometime this month and just kind of sit down and kind of get a tour of not just Marlins Park, but take him up to a lovely Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter and see what a nice complex that is for spring training, as you well know. And or whether some Marlin executives, DJ or Michael, fly to L.A. and sit down with him and say, look, we want you here, and this is why. And that's the bottom line, Matthew. It's, you know, the Marlins are best served with Dan Haren on this team, because if he's not, they're going to basically look for a 180-innings guy at that dollar figure and without having to make a major trade or a major financial commitment to someone like a James Shields. So, you know, they feel that they are a much better team with Dan Haren on this team. And I'm sure that's what they're selling them on. And it's, you know, that they feel this team is really, really close, and he gets them even closer. So I believe it's in the Marlins' best interest to really convince him that you're not just reporting just to, you know, get the $10 million and not walk away from it and pitch and hope that somebody gets hurt out west and there's a trade scenario that comes and voila, now all of a sudden you're pitching out west, that they need him to go where they want to go in 15.
And that kind of leads into my next question, and I know we've talked about this some, but what is plan B? I mean, as this progresses, what are they doing to sort of make sure that they're not caught out in a tough spot if this doesn't work out with Haren?
Yeah, I mean, that's why the James Shields thing is always interesting until he has signed somewhere else. Would he be a Marlin? You know, would they go all in on him? I don't see it. Not at $100 million. Not at 5 years for a 33-year-old pitcher. They just have too much money that they have to start locking up into the Jose Fernandez types in the next year or two to have $20 million going to James Shields. So unless that dollar figure is very much inflated, and let's face it, Matthew, by the time we get to mid-February, if James Shields hasn't signed, I would think, you know, you're going to have a number of teams with a lot deeper pockets than the Marlins will come up and pay that. It's, you know, at 100, and I was flat out told they ain't going at 100, 110 million. So the Marlins are not going to be that team. And I can't help but think if the contract's going to be more in the 50, 60 million range, sort of like what Garza got with the Brewers, then why wouldn't he just go back to Kansas City? So I just don't really see any scenario financially where James Shields is a Marlin, but he would indeed be a plan B. Otherwise, you know, they're going with, you know, a good stable of young guys. But the difference between this year, Matthew, and the last few years is they want more sure bets. They obviously, you're going to always have a spot or two on your roster when you come into spring training. But I don't think they want necessarily a big tryout camp or the fifth starter, because, you know, they know wins in April and May are going to be really important because Jose is coming back at some point. And the better they do early, you know, the better chance they have of making this a really fun year when their big horse comes back.
Not to get, too far into hypotheticals, but if it sometimes when you see one of these guys who thinks he's going to make a lot of money, sometimes the way that ends up is they do that pillow contract, go 1 year and go back out on the market next year. Can you see a scenario where the Marlins maybe went high dollars for a year on Shields? And I don't know what exactly high dollars is. I don't know if that means 20, but something where they got out of their comfort zone only on a one-year deal, or is that just not the kind of thing they would be interested in doing if it came to that?
No, I think they would do it. I think they could look and see it for 15. Yeah, if they – you make a good point. That's something to consider. They did it with Pudge in 03. You know, and then after that, other teams were like, whoa, this is a pretty good investment when they signed Pudge for $10 million for 1 year. And then said, you know what, if they were out of it, they could always move them. This is how James Shields is a Marlin, like you say. Michael Hill and Dan Jennings are in Jeffrey Loria's ear and say, Jeffrey, we're going to the postseason if we sign this guy. They said, you could basically start printing tickets right now for the postseason. And if that argument gets to him where he, you know, dips into, you know, some funds that he wasn't intending to, that's how you'll see James Shields here. But if it's going to hurt the long-term future of the franchise, I just don't see it. So, yes, there is that scenario that would get James Shields here, but that would be a shrinking market, or the options that Shields is looking at, he's not as comfortable as saying, you know what, I can go to Miami. They got a pretty good team. That's a pitcher's ballpark. You got to hit the ball a ton to knock it out of there. Got a great outfield defense. I got, you know, a familiarity with the front office from my days in Tampa, because, you know, Jennings, Hill, and, you know, some other people in this organization were around, you know, when Shields was still with Tampa. You know, there's a lot of positives to sell him on why he should be a Marlin, but that would be the scenario.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.